All right, well, we'll get started since it's 3:30 Eastern time. Thanks everybody for joining. We've got people trickling in. We had so many people sign up that I had to upgrade my Zoom account to make sure everybody got in, and which was a great problem to have. This is our first ever 9-to-5 Mac Apple at Work webinar. So the Apple at Work is the brand name I use for any enterprise content that we put out. We have an Apple at Work podcast, and then we also have a Making the Grade series where I cover K-12 content as well. And so a little bit about me. My name is Bradley Chambers. For those of you who don't know me, I'm from Chattanooga, Tennessee, which is about 2 hours north of Atlanta, 2 hours south of Nashville. We are right across the state line. We're probably best known for having some of the fastest internet in the world. We have, everybody in our city has gigabit internet for $70 a month or less. And so obviously in times like this, I've been very, very thankful for it. And so I am a director of IT at a school here in Chattanooga known as Brainerd Baptist School. I've been here for about a decade. So, that's kind of my day job. Then I write for 9-to-5 Mac as well. That's my, what I do at night instead of watching, 30 Rock reruns on Netflix or The Office reruns. I write content, and we usually those articles go out on the weekend. And so I do a little bit of contract IT work elsewhere for some local businesses. So this has been a wild week. This has been one of the most unique weeks of my life work-wise. It's probably been the hardest week. I have worked 15 hours a day, I would dare say every day since Sunday, and I am so glad it is the weekend. I know many of you are feeling that, not because you're going to get to relax this weekend, but because you're probably so overwhelmed with work and you can finally catch up with maybe not new stuff coming in. So again, like I said, been writing for the past 2 years, 9-to-5 Mac. So I've got a great little community of people that love Apple and love enterprise. That industry certainly is growing as the Mac becomes ever more popular in the enterprise. And obviously iPad and iPhone, as we learned last year at the Jamf user conference, that 100% of Fortune 500s have Apple in their enterprise. So that it could be iPhones, could be iPads, could be Macs, but 100% of the Fortune 500. And if you would have told me that 10 years ago, I would have said you were crazy, because that there were so many businesses that were just dead set against Apple, dead set against integrating the Mac. So it's been a wild ride. Now, this webinar is being recorded, like we said. So if you have to leave early, you will be emailed a copy of it afterwards. It'll be on the posted on the 9-to-5 Mac YouTube page, and we'll post it in the blog as well. So let's get started. So we're covering a number of topics today about designing remote work from an IT perspective. We're going to talk through distant learning, and then we're going to hear from Sam Johnson at Jamf, who he's their chief customer officer. They basically went remote overnight. And so I caught that. That wasn't, when we scheduled this webinar, I didn't plan on having a guest, but then I kept watching the Jamf folks on LinkedIn talk about how quickly they had done it. And I thought, if a business at that scale that's worldwide has done it that fast, we should need to have them on. So first thing I want to say is breathe, because I am telling this to myself. I am struggling. I've been in countless Zoom meetings. I've uploaded a good 100 gigabytes of videos to Vimeo, and I'm exhausted. And so I think if I can give you one piece of advice you take from this today is to take a moment this weekend to breathe, settle down, and start thinking what this looks like long-term. If this world continues through past mid-April, a lot of us are already planning. So first thing I want to say is stay secure through all this. The increased world crazy times, you're going to have the tendency to lower security policies. Stay secure and keep that top of mind, because you guys know hackers don't take vacations. Keep your guard up. And there's going to be requests you're going to have to deny for things, but have your reasons for them and stick to them. Don't have those reasons and just because, like, have reasons for, like, we can't change that configuration profile, or why I can't give you that application. Stay secure most of all. Okay. And I think that's good advice, because you don't want to, like, through this craziness, realize you've got like a data leak somewhere, you've been hacked. It would just compound your problem. Second tip is try to eliminate clunky VPNs. I think if you've had a mass amount of workers go remote overnight, you are struggling with VPN rollout, because that is not fun for anybody. I've helped some businesses, local businesses, through that. And what I've seen as a major problem is, like, you're seeing many ISP installed routers are blocking stuff right from the core. You're dealing with IP collisions on home networks using the same routing information. And we'll cover customer facing or your employee equipment here in a little bit. But if you can design your network and your services around not having to use VPN and still do it secure, I think your life will be easier in IT. And also your users' lives will be dramatically easier because they're not going to have to, every time they want to do something, get logged in through a VPN. So again, try to eliminate clunky VPNs. And now, and today may not be the time to do that, but when things get back to normal, maybe start kind of, you know, thinking through that. Now, along that same line, if there's one thing you should be taking away from this sudden move to remote work, is that you need to be thinking cloud for essential services. For the folks that I support, moving them to their home meant they didn't have access to our printers. We are 100% cloud-based here at our school, and we have been for a decade. And I made this decision. I really saw this coming in 2010, where I said, you know what? Everything's moving to software as a service. We're going to strategically eliminate every on-site server we had. And then in 2011, we had like three F5 tornadoes come through our city in the same day. We lost power for a week at our school. We were out of school for a week. Oddly enough, I was in Atlanta when this happened at an Apple certified Macintosh technician class, which I did pass back you know, if you guys are Mac techs, so that was the class I was taking. And we still could operate. Our school information system was still up. Our accounting system was still up. Payroll still happened. Now, if we were a situation, we had all this stuff on site, we didn't have power. So there was no way to do it. And what we did, we were able to take company computers, go to a local business that had power, we could process payroll on their internet. And so again, if you aren't thinking cloud at this point, you should be now. Because again, to me, I want to treat my internal network the same as I treat everywhere else. I want to assume in some ways no security on the network, and I want to move the security up to the cloud, up at the user login level. So again, if you aren't thinking cloud, you should be now. Now, this isn't necessarily an IT thing, but this is just a general, like, send your employees home. You need to have solutions to keep your teams on track. Have, whether it's Basecamp, a Trello, a Slack, your managers need to have a way to communicate their employees in a way that's in compliance and a way to keep projects going. And when I say in compliance, I mean not group iMessages. To me, that group iMessages are one of the biggest security threats to, I think, a lot of organizations, because you can't track them, you can't archive them, you can't do anything with them. So rather than like letting, you know, departments set up their own thing, have a company approved way to have these group chats, these group meetings, whether it's a corporate Zoom account, whether it's a Basecamp account for project management. So if your organization hasn't thought about that now, start thinking about that, because I guarantee you, you're going to start having shadow IT if you're not. And, you know, the marketing department's going to end up in Slack and the operations department's going to end up in Trello. So figure out what you need now and then get it out in a way that's approved by the company, that can be in compliance. The communications can be archived for legal reasons. Again, I'm waiting for the first like lawsuit with a company where it's something with a group iMessage, because they are not, so much of that happens and it's not trackable and it's not able to be archived. So kind of going along with that, trust your people. A big mistake that I see in a lot of these companies that are suddenly sending their people home is they don't trust their people. Don't overload them with check-ins, require they message you when they sign in the morning or when they're leaving. Trust that you've hired the right people and trust them to do their job. Because if you can't, if they don't know what to do and you can't trust them to do it, honestly, you've got the wrong people. So give your people the flexibility to do their work and trust that it happens. And if it's not, then you deal with it. So this is a big one. And Sam, I'll let you chime in here too. If this shut down, this remote work phase goes on much longer, you're going to get to where like people are going to need new machines. And so what does that look like for companies now? And honestly, if you aren't thinking zero touch, then you're kind of thinking through the wrong, you're going to have yourself a lot of problems. So you think like, okay, if I got to buy 10 laptops today, how do I get those out to the employees in a situation where I can't see them? How do I get them authenticated in a way that I'm not going to be there to help them? If they need help, that machine, maybe it's set up, we can't remote in. So you need to be thinking about how do you do zero touch. And what zero touch means is you can take a shrink wrap device, send it to an employee, they unbox it, and they're able to get signed into other company applications. So using like Apple Business Manager, Apple School Manager with tools like Jamf Connect, you can do that. Like they can authenticate through their G Suite or their Office 365 account. That is what you need to be thinking is like, how do I do this? Now, on the flip side, you're also going to be thinking is like, how do I get machines back? That's also gonna be a problem. So it may be where you send them a prepaid shipping label. They put their old laptop in, drop it back in the box, send it to you. When you get it back in, obviously you get to disinfect it because you don't want those germs to stay on it. We know keyboards can be some of the germiest places in the world. And then obviously then you can decommission it. But that's something you gotta think through because right now no one's thinking, oh, I'm getting a new laptop. But like theoretically, they will over the next few weeks. And because so many businesses are distributed now and people are in a work from home situation or they have a home office business, that's a solved problem. You just got to have the mindset on how to do it. So where you're not, you're going to pre-image computers. You want to be able to, again, buy it from Apple, ship it and have them on board, get all their applications, get signed in, get all their stuff set up. And that's all a solved problem. Again, I love Jamf, but most MDMs can do that. And again, that the piece I like is the Jamf Connect piece where you can authenticate and log into the Mac with an Office 365 account or a G Suite account. So I'll skip back up. I skipped a slide. Are you responsible for employee home networks now? I honestly think this is going to be a massive question going forward. Like, you know, again, like 2 months from now, we're all still working from home. And employee says, hey, my home office, I don't get good Wi-Fi. What do I do? What do you do? Is that your problem? Like, is that a company problem? Is it an IT problem? If it's broken and they can't do their job and they don't know how to fix it and their ISP's saying it's the computer's fault, like what do you do? So there's some things to think through there. I don't have the answer, but if the funds allow, I think it would be ideal for companies to start kind of taking over that aspect of the company network, whether it's like putting in a dedicated internet connection that's by the company, like through their ISP, but then they have a company installed router. That eliminates a lot of variables. And if you do need a VPN, that can simplify that. So the vendor we use for Wi-Fi, Extreme Networks, they have like a remote branch kit where you can get a router and an access point. And then there's like a, you know, turning a turnkey VPN back to the home office. That may be something to consider. And again, I don't know that you need to be thinking about that today, but long-term, like what if employees at home, they're hosting a webinar on Zoom and the Wi-Fi craps out? Whose problem is that? Well, it may not be your fault, but it's going to become your problem for the company IT. So just start thinking about what would that look like if we did say, hey, we're having enough like IT help desk issues that are 100% on the end user's network. How do we just start to deal with that? So you can think through that. So if this is the tipping point for remote work, and I think it is, I think we're going to come out of this and we're going to start to think that, you know what, we could always work remotely. Now, schools still need to be face-to-face. I think there's a lot of value from that. But I think a lot of organizations are going to say, you know, we actually can do that, or at least part of the time. So if that's the case, what do you need to do different in the future? Not today, but like thinking through a long term. How will you redesign your network? How will you redesign authentication? How will you redesign deployment in a situation where 50, 75% of your users may not be physically in the office? Now, moving, kind of shifting gears a little bit, distance learning. This is kind of my forte. Now, my school, we did this over basically a day. We're unique. Like, so if you're listening and you've got 10,000 students, what we did, not going to work for you. We're unique that we have 300 students. And I have enough teachers that I can literally go see every one of my teachers in an hour and do something. So if I needed to install a piece of software on their computer and I didn't want to, you know, get it uploaded into the MDM, I can just physically go do it. So how we did it is probably not how you should do it, but I think there's some principles that we kind of, that guided us that you definitely should be thinking about. Okay. So now again, this is like what we did in an emergency situation, not planned. So this is going to sound crazy. So we thought, like, how can we get content to students in a way that's easy for teachers to do who are not prepared for this and easy for parents to do that can get to their kids or their students to access that they were not prepared for. So we actually put the Zoom, we signed up, we got a Zoom account. We did the upgrades and we put Zoom on everybody's computers. And I taught the teachers how to record video lessons on Zoom. They were using the built-in annotation tools, the built-in screen sharing, just to record the videos. Now, none of these were live, These were just like, you know, them talking. Now, they've done some live, but not the core of their lessons. They would save those videos, send them to me. I would then upload them to our school Vimeo account, and then they were on each grade, had a password-protected page of our website as where those videos went. As you can imagine, that did not scale well this week. I spent way too much time doing that. It just didn't work well. We're making some changes. I'm getting some help to do that in the coming weeks. But for this week, it worked. So again, this is like not ideal. This was an emergency situation. And I've talked to our headmaster about that. And we've talked about like if we were ever to do this like planned, like a distance learning disaster recovery plan, like this is not what we would do. This is what we did when we had like 24 hours to prepare. Because this thing quickly went from like, oh, we should probably have something, an idea, 20% plan versus like this may happen tomorrow. So this is what we did. This required the least amount of training for our teachers and the least amount of training for our parents. And that for me was the goal, because when I go down here to things that really, you know, my key tips, focus on simplification for teachers, because this is already changing their worlds dramatically. So you want to eliminate as many roadblocks for them as possible to allow them to just teach. So if you're having to teach them software, teach them how to use a new learning management system. Well, they're going to end up getting bogged down in that learning management system, and that's going to affect the classroom. Okay. Second thing is focus on ease of access for parents and students. Parents, especially, like if they're both working, their lives are in chaos right now. They're trying to work. They've got the craziness at their work on top of getting their kids to learn. I've got three kids at home. It is crazy at home trying to get my kids through their school curriculum. Perfect right here is the enemy of working. If it works, roll with it. It does not have to be perfect week one, week two, week three, week four. Again, if this is this way in August, we're going to do something different. And you will not have all the answers through this, okay? Just do what works. That's the best advice I can get for you. And what we've done is not perfect, but our parents have been generally pretty happy with it. And one of my final tips for you before we touch base with Sam is don't overplan for next year. A lot of schools and businesses are going to come out of this and think they need to build and buy massive solutions. If this happens again, you know, this might not ever happen again. Don't start tying up thousands and thousands of dollars on a might happen problem. Definitely start building out plans, but don't assume that next spring or next fall, this is going to happen and really overbuy stuff, overcommit to subscriptions and to programs. Just take it, like I said at the beginning, take a breath, think through, okay, what did you do? What worked? And like for our school, we're going to have a better learning management system situation ready to go in case this happens again. We're going to have accounts set up in something like Clever. I'm a big fan of. It's a single sign-on solution for schools. I'm going to have that ready to go. And that's what we'll do. We'll maybe even do some training on it. But I'm not going to spend tens of thousands of dollars with that. So with that being said, at this point, I want to welcome Sam Johnson with Jamf. Sam, welcome to our 9-to-5 Mac webinar.
Thank you very much, brother. And for those playing the webinar bingo, can you hear me all right?
We can hear you. Perfect. Tell us, so you're the chief customer officer at Jamf, right? Or is that the chief people officer?
Chief customer officer, which is a fairly ambiguous title to begin with. But, you know, I've actually worked at Jamf for a little over 12 years now, and I'm pretty sure when you've worked at a company for that long in software, specifically kind of in the SaaS business, you just get to make up your own title. Ultimately, I work with all of the teams across Jamf to help deliver solutions and make sure that we're delivering the best possible products and experience for our customers.
So talk to us about the timeline at Jamf. At what point, I assume last week, did you guys realize we're going to have to do something? We got to send these people home.
Yeah. I mean, as everybody on the line knows, this has been kind of a rapidly developing situation. And we started looking at it very closely early in the week and had communicated with our team members within Jamf internally and said, hey, if people are feeling uncomfortable coming into work, know that you can work from home and that's an option for you. But it wasn't until a Thursday for us in which we saw the mounting pressure and not just that, but just how quickly things were moving that we decided to make the decision to take that a step further and actually ask our employees to work remote. And fortunately, we were in the position where we could make that decision. I know that as after that point, it's continued to rapidly evolve, and there's been a lot of governmental and local mandates and influences that have been put onto some organizations, and they haven't necessarily been able to make that decision on their own. They've had to follow the course of you know, recommendations from above them in order to kind of choose their course of action. So we were able to make that decision on last Thursday, and quite honestly, the communication went out in the evening, and by the next day we had already seen, you know, within 24 hours our workforce was pretty self-assembled and working remotely. Now, I do want to make a very careful distinction in the fact that there's two different ways that we look at this. Number one is remote capable, and that's a lot of the technology and resources behind the scenes. And the other one is about being remote enabled. And remote enabled actually takes that a step further, and it says, how do you construct or how do you work with your teams to not only be able to do the things that you need to do, but to actually embrace that capability to help your organizations be productive in the environment.
That's a great point. Because it's like, you know, there's idea, there's like, you can do this and how do we enable it versus that, okay, we can, it's like passable and it works. And it's certainly with you all, because you're a worldwide organization, that looks probably differently, because it's not like, hey, we're in the same city, we're sending everybody home. Like, hey, we are spread around the world and we now have every one of our employees at their house. What you know, technically did you, was there any technical changes you had to make or think through before when this happened, or was your network already set up to be able to just do this?
Well, in large respect, our capability was already there. And this is kudos to our IT team, who has been, like you had mentioned before, this has been a strategic direction for us for a long time. And it's interesting, because being followers of Apple technology and being one of those rare companies that only uses Apple technology, this has been on our kind of our track ever since, you know, we began, because Apple technology adapts very well to the cloud type environments. But we have over 1,200 employees that work at Jank. Every person has a laptop as a primary device. We all use mobile phones or iPhones, which is a little bit different. There's no desk phones within Jank, which makes it interesting. And that lends into that kind of that cloud infrastructure for all the business critical systems. And it's not just for sales or finance, it's our call center. When you call in for support, it actually routes through a cloud system and then rings an iPhone at the end of the day. So we were very adaptable from the infrastructure technology standpoint, but maybe a step further is just the quantity of communication tools that we have at our disposal. And we use a lot of different tools. And in fact, we have the mediums of Salesforce Chatter, we have Slack, we have WebEx, we use FaceTime fairly prevalently. We use the Confluence or the Jira suite of tools. All these things exist for us to be able to interact with one another, which in some respects can make that very difficult. But in times like this, it actually really opens up the capabilities for what I'm talking about when I say remote enabled. And when we did that transfer, it was really interesting, because we started it off with a message from our CEO, Dean Hager. And instead of just sending an email encouraging everybody to work from home, he went home himself. He set up a computer on a table and he took a video of himself explaining what was happening and why we wanted, for the safety of our employees and for the purposes of continuing to be able to serve our customers and all of those around us, that we were making this decision. And it was about a 7-minute video. He sent it out on every communication line and said nothing more than, hey, everyone, please watch this video. And what that did was, it actually was much more powerful than the the words that could come out of an email. And that really speaks to the embracing of how to work remotely, because communication exists on this spectrum. And understanding what and how to use the different mediums of communication isn't about whether or not there's a right or a wrong, but it's about the connection with individuals. And I'm myself a very personal individual. I like being in the presence of others. I'm social. But you're able to knock down some of those barriers of only being able to chat with people during the day or otherwise, if you can mix it up and have team meetings face-to-face where everybody's video is on. In fact, one of the first experiences on Monday was a company-wide meeting in which 1,000 people all had their camera on, and you could just cycle through the Zoom and WebEx meetings and see that the everybody's face at their home. And that does a lot for the connection that people feel like they have working remotely with one another. So that was a big thing. And then the other one is that we've really been leaning on our experts. And fortunately, we've had a lot of people that already work remotely in different regions. And they have been just extremely embracing of the rest of everyone and giving tips and tricks on how to work remotely, how to be comfortable, how to make sure to take time for yourself, and various other things across the board, just to kind of get everybody accustomed to this new way of working. So it's been very interesting from our perspective. We're able to do it very fast, but from some respects, we're still learning each and every day as well.
You know, you mentioned those various tools that you all use, and you know, I don't think it's any coincidence that the rise of Apple in the enterprise coincides with the rise of software as a service and cloud apps, because the whole argument, you know, 10 years ago was we can't deploy Macs because all of our applications are Windows based, or we're gonna have to do a boot camp or a VMware, and that adds cost and complexity. Well, as everything has moved to the cloud, that excuse is gone. And so it's like, okay, I can access, you know, Trello in the web, or whatever tool your organization uses, or if it's a CRM tool and we use Salesforce. So that, I think that, you know, you think about the iteration of how those tools kind of evolved, that led us to where a company could go remote overnight. Because you think about, and I was thinking about that today, like there's the prevalence of Wi-Fi in our world, in the homes, and how important this is. Imagine if this happened in 2008, schools are shut down. Like majority of schools do not have the infrastructure, wouldn't have had the devices. There wouldn't be the ability to quickly upload videos. You think about like how bad employee internet connections might've been at that point, like it's a lot slower. And there's still a lot of areas in the country and around the world that are not there, but a lot of schools are able to do this. And so we've almost been preparing without knowing it, preparing our networks to go remote overnight, because we have all these tools that, you know, aren't concerned about our security from where we're at, you know, like the network-based security where everything is about logging on to the network at the domain control level and syncing with that and checking in with that. It's more of like, hey, do you have credentials to log in, whether that's multi-factor authentication, those kind of things. So it's more about that kind of security, which I think has definitely led us to where we're able to do this. So shifting gears, taking off your internal hat on, off and then putting on your external, what's it like? What are your customers saying? What are they seeing? Your enterprise and your K-12 customers, what are they going through right now?
Yeah, you know, I've been speaking about this very, very generally, I guess, from the perspective of our roles and our things. And I by no means believe that's probably the largest challenges that are out there, because when we step outside of that and we think about some of the roles that really have very pertinent jobs to do rather than general enablement, this becomes a very rapidly different story. And I'll give you an example of healthcare. And we're very fortunate to work with a lot of different healthcare organizations. The University of California San Diego Health Services Group is one, and I had the fortunate ability to talk with a leader over there this week, and surprisingly enough, you know, they were already remote using iPads for the purposes of virtual visits with patients. And it was interesting to see that the number of visits that they had coming in had doubled in 3 days versus what they had done in the previous 3 years. So that just speaks to the scale and the volume of what they're doing. And the new challenge became how to get iPads provisioned fast enough to be able to give to their care providers. And that's even more into what you were talking about before, about how to adapt some of these strategies. And it really is about using that automated device enrollment. In fact, Geisinger, another group that we work closely with, was prepping 50 iPads an hour in order to help their providers with the virtual visits that are happening. So these doctor visits, these on-demand virtual visits that doctors are having with one another, with patients right now, is extremely important for the landscape and the situation that we're in. But it also extends beyond that, just into not only general business. And again, we work with a lot of great companies. SAP was out on social media this week talking about how in preparations for, you know, new hires coming in and all the Apple news that came out, they're actually drop shipping, shrink wrapped Apple devices straight to employees' homes for refreshes and new computers and mobile devices, and they're using the automated device enrollment. But another great example of kind of this purpose-built application is in distant learning, which you're obviously experiencing right now. And we've seen a lot of folks, take to social media. I saw Goose Creek out there this week talking about how now not only is the technology required out there, but they need to make parents an active part of the discussion. And so they were leveraging Jamf Parent app to give parents more control of the devices, the one-to-one devices that they're sending. And this is something that they had to do. This one actually hit me even closer at home. I have three kids, in which it's become commonplace to hear screaming kids and barking dogs in meetings such as this now. And I apologize if that happens, but my 9-year-old doesn't have a one-to-one program. And this week obviously had school closures occurring. And I was contacted by her teacher and said, hey, we're trying to do everything we can. We really don't have a plan put together, but we know it's gonna involve sending these iPads that are typically in a cart in our classroom home with the students. And so I'd like to meet you in an alleyway, or it was a parking lot. And I got the iPad from the teacher. It was pretty sketchy, but nonetheless, I brought it home. And it was interesting, working for Jamf as long as I have, you'd think that I would just say, okay, I know what to do here, because of course it was managed with Jamf. But instead of doing that, I just said, Odessa is my daughter, and I gave it her iPad, and I said, I presume you know what to do with this. This is your iPad from school. And she opened it up and she said, this isn't my iPad. This is another student's iPad. And I said, well, is there anything that you can do? And she logged out of her Google Classroom and she launched self-service and installed a few apps. And within 10 minutes, and I literally did nothing to her. She says, okay, I'm in my classroom. I see my assignment, and I guess I have to go to school today anyway. So it was a great example. And I know there was so much behind the scenes that had to happen to make that work, but in an institution that wasn't prepared for distant learning, they were able to get technology in the hands of the students. And from that point moving forward, with zero plan whatsoever, the students were off and at least, interacting with the teacher, getting assignments, interacting with one another using chat. And it did mean a lot to the parents, and it meant a lot to the students to have some level of normalcy in that whole situation. And I know we're on a lot of different areas within that spectrum, but it is something that is possible. And it's something that, I think that we are able to take control of, and it's kind of our calling right now to try to get to it as much as possible. And the good news is we're in this together. And as a result of that, I do want to just kind of mention that this hasn't hit the wire yet, or we haven't broadly put this out there, but Jamf, we're able to take a team of 1,200 remote within 24 hours. And luckily that was because of the hard work that our IT team put it up for several years. We understand that that's not the situation for everyone. And all in all, we're here to help. Our mission is to help customers succeed with Apple. And the first word in that is the most important. And it's really the most important during these times, which is the help. And so effective immediately, and we'll be communicating this out to everyone soon, but for all existing Jamf customers, we want to do some things that to help them out as much as possible. And the first one is to make sure that they're able to leverage the personal devices that they have just to maintain production and continuity. And knowing that not everyone has institutional devices, we want to make sure that they have the capability to deliver content to whoever that might be. So if you're in a business, if you're in a school, we're allowing you to have unlimited, BYOD or personally owned devices enrolled into your Jamf instances at no additional cost until the end of September 2020 here. And you can use those personally owned devices to get things like self-service on there, to be able to set up different security policies or whatever is important to you. Additionally, we've been doing this for 18 years. We've gained a little bit of expertise in the area of Apple management. We know that. And so for all of those that are evaluating working with Jamf, we're eliminating any onboarding costs that would be associated with that. We also have a vast array of both virtual and remote options to help any organization out there expedite their work at home or their school at home programs. So we want to make sure that we're actively involved, and we will prioritize the onboarding for as many folks as we can. We're going to help you get up and moving quickly. And speaking of those virtual options, we're also making sure that at zero cost, you have access to all of the content that we have from a video capability. We've got tons of different tutorials on how to, do this zero touch deployment directly to an employee or a student's home and have these set up. How to do configuration deployments for VPNs. We're creating content every single day specific for this purpose. We're going to open that up and make it available for everyone for free. Specific to education, first off, we know that parents are now a part of the equation of management scene. So we're encouraging all of our existing customers to use Jamf Parent. And again, no additional cost to anybody. In fact, it works both with Jamf Pro and Jamf School, and we want people to enable that, and we've got a ton of content and material available for you on how to go about that. And the second one is we know that for those that are out there that are feeling stuck or feeling like they don't have a current plan on how to get things going and they're not using Jamf, we're partnering very closely with Apple to make sure that for anybody who's bringing in new Apple devices, you're having an extended evaluation, or basically you can use our Jamf School product for free for a trial period for 4 months with unlimited number of Apple devices, just to make sure that you get up and you've got management, you've got the capability to leverage those Jamf student apps, the Jamf teacher apps, the Jamf parent apps for the students that might be working remote.
Oh, that's exciting. That's awesome.
And last but not least, yeah.
I was like, that's awesome. Was there one more thing?
Yeah, the one more thing, and this just goes out to ensure that we're doing what we can for the healthcare providers out there. We want to make sure that we're keeping the caregivers, the patients, the loved ones safe and connected. For the need of social distancing and more. For the seniors and healthcare providers, any Jamf customer who's setting up Apple devices for the purpose of telemedicine or communications between patients and their loved ones may use Jamf products for all those devices for no cost, again, until September 2020. So this applies to any organization focused on senior care who would like to implement online visits.
Yeah, I'm really excited about telehealth for the future. I talked with a company earlier this year about it, and it was really, really exciting. And I had the flu last fall and get diagnosed remotely. And it was very, very interesting and felt like the way of the future. So those are some exciting things from Jamf. That's awesome. You guys are reaching out to your customers and to people that need a mobile device management solution. So that's awesome information. At this point, we're going to take it. You can ask if you have questions for me or Sam. That should be open now, I hope. If not, somebody send a chat. But if there's anything, we'll leave it open for 60 seconds or so if nothing comes in. I am so happy this Friday. I am just planning on going to bed tonight and hopefully waking up with not that many emails, in my inbox. We are going to archive this video on our 9to5Mac YouTube page. I'm also going to take the audio and put it up as a podcast on the Apple at Work podcast. So if you're not subscribed to that, you can do that on Apple Podcast, Overcast, Spotify. And again, the idea behind the podcast is it's a, every other week thing, 20, 25 minutes. We're not trying to make another 2-hour show. I know no one has more. We all have plenty of those that we love to try to get through. We got some cool. I just recorded a new episode today with a cloud security company. That's pretty exciting, talking about their role with software as a service. So subscribe to that. So we're going to cut off here. We'll end it here. Thanks for everybody for coming, spending some of your Friday with us. Again, we'll post this video. If you'd like to rewatch or share with colleagues, this will be on our YouTube page or as on the podcast as well. And everybody stay safe, stay well, smile, breathe, laugh. We will get through this together. We'll come out the other side much better off for it. So everybody have a great weekend. Sam, thanks for joining.
Thank you, Bradley, and thanks, everyone.